live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins again. Rome, if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard our Christmas edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. I hope you're having a wonderful, relaxing, and enlightening, and richly rewarding Christmas weekend, wherever you happen to be. And you know where we are? Get out your maps, boys and girls. We've been living on airplanes. We've been flying everywhere. In the last 2 weeks, I've been in Cairo. That noise behind me might give it away where we are, but I'll tell you in a second. We've been in Cairo and Luxor and Roatan, Honduras, and Cozumel, Mexico, and Miami, and all the way around the country twice. And now we're coming to you from 36 degrees, 5 minutes north, 115 degrees, 10 minutes west. We're coming to you from the Bellagio in Las Vegas, and that noise behind me, and we're looking right out of the fountains, those legendary fountains, which you've never been here, of course, if you've seen the movie Ocean's 11, 12, or 13, you've definitely seen those fountains. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837, that's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll, wow, there go the fountains again, and we'll solve it right here on the air. And you know I travel to a different location every weekend, this weekend not being an exception at all. And you can get a sneak peek into next week's radio show location if you sign up for my free newsletter. That's right, it's free, it's updated every day, and delivered straight to your email. And if you really want to get behind the scenes, then get instant access to all the previous radio shows which we've archived. Just sign up to be one of our insiders. It's less than $5 a month. And you know what? Not a bad holiday gift. So never too late. Christmas is every year on this show. Just check out petergreenberg.com for all the details. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we've got our good friend Scott McCartney, but I'm going to sort of jump the gun on Scott's thunder and try to figure out, you know, it's Christmas. What kind of presents have the airlines given us this year? Have you gotten any? You know, I'm one of those people, the older I get, the more I realize that some packages deserve to stay wrapped. And most of those presents that they gave us this year, don't open them. I don't want to pay for check bags. I don't want to pay for pillows or blankets or what constitutes their definition of food. What's worse, of course, the sack of coal goes to Spirit for trying to charge up to $45 for a carry-on bag. And, of course, Christmas is every year if you're the folks at Ryanair, because every year they basically challenge us. They threaten to do like the absurd things like stand-up seating and the famous pay toilet. Now, neither of those have happened yet. But you know what? Somebody actually built the stand-up seats. There is a prototype out there, and you know what that means. Someone might actually buy them, and worse, they might even install them. And that pay toilet, the minute that happens, my Christmas present to Ryanair is I'm going to go on the air on this show and every other show and insist that we follow what we call the Peter Greenberg BYOB program. It'll end the program of the pay toilet instantly because BYOB stands for Bring Your Own Bedpan. And that'll be fun in the sky, won't it? In any case, my Christmas wish list is just for common sense. I need common sense. I need people to realize that at the end of the day, isn't it a better idea just to be smart? And isn't that basically the component part of service? I think so. You know, there's certain rules that I try to I don't follow them. I'm affected by them. For example, if I check in two bags, and you know me, I never check in bags. So if you check in two bags, here's the airline rule. The first bag comes out first, and the second bag comes out never. The later you are for the flight, the further away the gate. The earlier you are, the closer it is. You know that. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse. So that begins to make me think that what we should all be doing is be contrarian travelers. Never obey a single airport sign, a single direction, and I really try to follow that. I absolutely go everywhere in the off season. When I arrive at the airport, I arrive at the arrivals area, not the departures area. When I land at the airport, I have my friends pick me up at the departures area, not the arrivals area, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if we all did that, we'd be better off, honestly. In Chicago, they'll tell you to go into gate H or K. No, I go to the L doors. Nobody's ever there at O'Hare. And you double back around and you save 20 minutes. I think we should all make a New Year's resolution, all of us, that if we ever see a line, we just won't stand in it. That doesn't mean we're going to push ourselves to the front of the line. We just go home. Vote with our wallets. It's getting crazy out there. And if you saw my piece on CBS Sunday Morning, you saw me stand up and say, the airlines have a new motto. We're not happy until you're not happy. And that's a problem. You know, let's just hope it gets better. But we're living in a world of consolidation and mergers. The only big standalone left in this country is American Airlines and, to a certain extent, U.S. Air. But now the rumor is Delta might be merging with Virgin just because of the BA alliances with American and with Iberia. Everybody's circling the wagons. And when they circle the wagons, you know what that means? It's going to get rough. It's going to get rough on consumers. So here we are. It's Christmas week. There are no bargains. There's weather all over Europe. There's weather in this country. It's been a mess. The best Christmas present you can give yourself is probably just stay home. Or even a better Christmas present, go in about a week and a half during the dead week. That's right, the dead week. There's one every year right after Thanksgiving and right after Christmas. Let me give you some fair comparisons. If you wanted to fly anytime in the next 7 days from Los Angeles to New York, the cheapest airfare you could find with taxes is about $690 round trip. You know what it is as of January 4th? $219. If you wanted to take a Christmas cruise, and there are Christmas cruises out there that go through the New Year, they're 6 and 7 day cruises, actually 7 day cruises. Here's a quote for you. Celebrity cruises, $859 a person for 7 days. That's not overly expensive, but it's more than $100 a day. You want to go January 4th or January 5th, same ship, same itinerary into the Caribbean, $229 a person. Let's do the math. You can't afford to wake up at home for that because that also includes 3 meals a day. How cool is that? So embrace the off-season. Give yourself a present. Avoid the Christmas madness because it's going to get crazy. Stay home. Watch as much bad football and crappy television as you can. That's what I'm going to do. You never see me travel during Christmas. When this show is over, I'm going home. That's right. H-O-M-E. Now, most people think home for me is seat 3B, but they're wrong. I actually have a place, and I'm going to be there watching every Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and bad television show I can. And then, of course, I have to say it, my team, the Wisconsin Badgers, they're going to the Rose Bowl, and I will be at that game in Pasadena on January 1st. Go Badgers on Wisconsin. To give you an idea how bad my team used to be, when I went to the University of Wisconsin, we were like 0-14 every year. We'd still fill the stadium every year just to see how bad we could be, and believe me, we were bad. And when Wisconsin finally got to the Rose Bowl in 1994, you know where I was? I was in Hanoi. You try to get a sports score in Hanoi. You can't. But guess who won the Rose Bowl? Wisconsin did. And we won it the old-fashioned way. We let the other team mess up. We didn't have a great forward offense. They just fumbled five times. We beat UCLA because they fumbled five times. This year we're playing TCU and we're going to win. How's that for a prediction? When we come back, we've got another winner coming up. Scott McCartney from the Wall Street Journal with his wishes for the coming year. I can't wait for that. Back with more from the Bellagio in Las Vegas right after this. Merry Christmas, everybody.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back on this Christmas weekend. 18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg coming to you from the Bellagio in Las Vegas, Nevada, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And especially at this Christmas time, I encourage you to go to our website, which has the very imaginative name of petergreenberg.com, for one other important reason. We have a great archive list there of all the great aid and relief organizations around the world doing such essential hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, in the Gulf, places and people that really need our help. You can always donate $10 to the American Red Cross, but this list is bigger and better than that because it allows you to figure out how you can get physically, actively, and personally involved on location, and it's the best vacation gift you can ever give yourself because you're giving back to others. So check out our website, petergreenberg.com. Look at that list. You might be surprised as to what you can actually bring to the party, because if you do that, I guarantee you, you become the party. Joining us now, speaking of a party attitude, party on, Scott. Our good friend Scott McCartney, who's the travel editor for the Wall Street Journal, the author of the Wall Street Journal Guide to Power Travel, and a regular on our show with his wonderful wish list for the coming year, Scott.
Peter, happy holidays.
Same to you, man. So are you stuffing the stocking with helpful thoughts for our airline friends?
I think so. Santa is maybe going to bring more waivers of bag fees for next year. Santa might bring some more mergers of airlines. Maybe Santa will bring relaxation of some crazy TSA rules.
Let's start with the bag fees. You think that's going to be a reaction to how much money Southwest Airlines is actually making by not charging for bags?
I think there's pressure there. I also think there's some interesting things happening with credit card companies negotiating deals with airlines so they can offer customers on premium credit cards waivers of bag fees. There are an increasing number of ways to get around bag fees, and I think at the end of the day, while the airlines are making lots and lots of money with bag fees, it's going to be one of those things that that does get whittled away.
All right, so let's hope that happens. That's a positive one.
Yeah.
All right, but you also mentioned mergers. How is that a present for us?
Oh, I don't think that's necessarily a present for travelers. I do think there's a chance that the AirTran Southwest merger, when it comes together, will be a good thing for travelers. It'll offer a bigger network on Southwest. Southwest is already the largest domestic carrier. It also moves Southwest into some international flying, gives them a second fleet type. It really expands the scope of the kind of service that Southwest provides, and I think that could be really significant and have some really good things for travelers down the road. A bigger, better, more powerful Southwest offering discount prices and good service to a lot more communities.
The Southwest model seems to work historically, where they come into a market, next thing you know, fares drop about 40%.
Yeah, and this is going to be different because, you know, AirTran has already brought down prices in a lot of these markets. This one is more about if you put a smaller airplane, a 100-seat airplane, into some smaller communities and tie it into Southwest's existing network, do you offer something that's a lot better to those smaller communities than what they're getting from AirTran right now? And I think that is the benefit.
Cool. All right, so give me some more good news.
The lump of coal this year, maybe oil prices. I'm concerned that oil prices are going to go up next year. It could really derail a lot of the recovery we've seen, push fares up, and certainly delay any relief on baggage fees from airlines.
All right, now you mentioned mergers. I want to go back to that because the rumor on the street right now, of course, is that Delta wants to get together with Virgin Atlantic. There's also the rampant rumor that all these essential, I don't even want to even call it code shares, but it's not really, well, it's an alliance, if you will, between JetBlue and American. That one strikes me as the most interesting.
Yeah, that one is a bit puzzling. They traded some slots at Kennedy, and American put flights in on JetBlue routes. It's a little puzzling. Exactly how they're going to cooperate. They are expanding their cooperation on frequent flyer programs. I think it could be a good thing for travelers in New York to get the ability to merge frequent flyer accounts, or at least earn take your pick, either American or JetBlue. It may give American some more sway with corporate customers, so your employer may sw- switch Allegiant if JetBlue offers more local service within the corporate deal that you have. But all in all, it's hard to say. JetBlue has really sort of taken a Swiss-like attitude of we're going to be partners with as many people as we possibly can. Alaska is trying to do the same thing. They're forming lots of co-chair deals with international carriers besides American, and so it's hard to tell whether how seriously American and JetBlue are going to date.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, Scott, within 3 years, you'll go to the airport blindfolded because you'll have no idea what plane you're going to be on.
Well, in 3 years, it all may be just labeled airline.
Yeah, it'll be or Alliance.
Yeah. No, that's
you know, you'll fly in, you'll end up flying One World or Star or Sky.
I think that's right, and I think the Virgin Delta talk really plays into that. I'm not sure that would be a merger. I think it might be more of an alliance. Virgin has remained largely unaligned. They do have some co-chair deals here and there. They might decide to add Delta. I think they feel like they have to do something because of the American and British Air antitrust immunity, which makes them a much more distant number two player on the Atlantic.
Wow. It's tough out there. So what would you like to have happen? Give me one wish thing you'd like to have happen.
I would really like to see an airline or several airlines step up and say, you know, we're into recovery and we need to do something about our service. I just think this whole attitude of forcing people to pay extra for adequate service. You have to pay extra to get overhead bin space by boarding early. You have to pay extra to get better leg room than the cramped conditions you get in the rest of the airplane. If somebody said, we're not going to be the Walmart of the skies, we're going to be, you know, the Macy's of the skies or something like that. I do think there's an appetite for that among travelers these days.
I get a little insulted. I don't know if you do, too. There's one airline that wants to charge you up to $39 to have a seat closer to first class. Now, hello,
yeah.
All that means is you can smell the cookies. You still can't have one.
Well, that's right. But maybe that smell is worth $39. No, it's really it's crazy, the notion that you should pay a whole lot extra because you will get off the airplane 90 seconds before somebody behind you on the airplane is really kind of insulting, and the whole thing is insulting. And the notion that if you want adequate service, you got to pay extra for it. It's just when you buy that ticket, and tickets aren't it's certainly gotten more expensive this year. You pay several hundred dollars for service, and you ought to get something decent out of that.
I agree. Well, if you want to give yourself a great present this year, here's my advice. Go out and buy a copy of the Wall Street Journal Guide to Power Travel. And who's the author of that book?
Scott McCartney.
There you go. Scott McCartney. I was giving you the shot there, Scott, and you took it. There's a present that keeps on giving.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful Christmas.
It is, and it comes complete with one chocolate chip cookie for an additional $39.
Yes, better than just the smell.
Okay, man, I appreciate that. And, Scott, have a wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you in the new year, and hopefully the good news predictions you come up with will take hold, and oil prices won't go through the roof, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope.
All right, man, happy holidays.
Good, you
and
too,
when we
Peter.
Thank you, man. And when we come back, somebody knows a little bit about service. I've known him a long time, longer than he cares to remember. He's the president and COO of the Bellagio, but I've known him from when he was running a small Motel 6 in Topeka. No, I'm lying, but close. When we come back, we'll be talking to Randy Morton and taking your calls, 888-887-3837. We're at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. We'll be back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages. And there's no charge for the cookie on this show.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this Christmas weekend, coming to you from the legendary, I can say it now because it's been open for 12 years, the Bellagio Resort and Casino here in Las Vegas, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com, and we'll answer those questions and problems right here on the air. As promised, we're joined now by someone I've known for a long time, way before he ever came to the Bellagio. He was a Four Seasons boy in both Los Angeles and in Hawaii. And now he's the president and COO of the Bellagio. So he's seen all the changes, and there have been so many on this roller coaster of this major city in America. And his name, Randy Morton. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Peter. How you doing? Happy holidays.
And happy holidays to you. I mean, a year ago, we would have had probably a much more depressing conversation.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes in the last year, and it really starts with the convention business and the pacing and the booking and the confidence of conventions coming back to Las Vegas. And it's very exciting what's happening going into 2011. We're probably looking at an 18 to 20% growth in convention bookings.
So that's huge.
Which is huge. It's a great story for MGM Resorts, Bellagio, and, of course, our whole city, our whole destination.
I mean, there was a time not that long ago when you had a situation where most corporations that were thinking of conventions and had always come here in the past felt they'd be punished if they came here because they'd be having too much fun. Nobody wanted to have a pedicure while Rome was burning. I mean, that was really the concept. You had Obama basically saying, don't go. And you know, your occupancy dropped precipitously.
Yeah, our occupancy dropped, and also the average rate and the rates that we charged dropped immediately. And we had to become much more aggressive. We had to look at our packages and our incentives, and as a organization, MGM Resorts, throughout the enterprise, we became very, very aggressive to bring our loyal customers back to Las Vegas. And they're, you know, in the holiday season, this is a big time for us over Christmas and New Year's, and we're very optimistic and very excited about what's coming in the next couple of weeks. And
but you've seen the whole paradigm change over the years. I mean, when you first came here, the actual piece of the pie was cut differently. You know, when you first came here, a majority of the income at the casinos was from gaming, and it was not from entertainment, if you will. It wasn't from fine dining, and it wasn't from going to shows and other experiences. That's changed.
It's changed a lot in the last 10 years, and I think MGM Resorts last year was 55% non-gaming, 45% gaming. There's so many, the entertainment here, the shows, the restaurants. We just we have such a great variety selection. You know, we have deals that are, we own Circus where you can stay for $29 a night to the beautiful Bellagio for $259 a night.
How did you describe the hotel? The what? The beautiful. But you're
Bellagio.
Not promoting anything, are you?
No.
Okay, just checking. Okay. But the bottom line is the paradigm did change. You know, and the question is, how quickly could you adjust? That's really the key, right? Because, you know, after 2001, with September 11th, I mean, cruise lines could literally move their assets. They could literally take ships out of ports and sail them somewhere. You couldn't do that.
No, our reaction was to drop our rates and become more aggressive and with all of our great partners. And we've done that again, and we successfully were bringing our occupancy back. And now it's a story about the what we can charge. What is the rate? And the value right now to come to Las Vegas is exceptional.
And that's what I want to talk to you about. We're going to take a break in a second. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the difference between being competitive on rate and being competitive on value. Because I think that's the real big shift in the entire travel industry, and how quickly can people adapt who are the travel providers to that, which will make the difference for people listening to the show as to where they choose to spend their money and where they go.
Absolutely. And the value really starts at packaging, and the packaging of the room and the air. And, you know, we've done a great job as a destination. We've done a great job, and we're always fine-tuning and perfecting it. And that is really showing in the airlines coming back to Las Vegas. The capacity is very strong.
That's what I want to talk to you about, the airlines, because anytime there's a downturn in the economy, there are three locations that get hosed by the airlines, two of which you've worked in, Hawaii, Las Vegas, and Orlando, because they don't consider them to be high-yield business travel destinations. So even though the planes might be full, the airlines don't think they can make enough money on those routes, so they start pulling out capacity.
Well, yeah, and every flight I've been on the last 3 months from San Diego or L.A. or full. Toronto, Canada, full, 100% yeah, full.
And everybody else has that same experience because with fewer planes, you have fewer flights, and bingo, everybody's crammed in there.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing, absolutely 100% packed. And, you know, and we're very excited when we're on a full plane coming to Las Vegas. That's great news for our destination.
But relatively, there used to be three of those planes.
There used to be, and that's where there's an opportunity to grow the market, and definitely grow the market is through air.
And you got to go out there to convince the airlines to come back.
Yeah, I think that the airlines need to come back, and we need, you know, definitely the short-haul flights. I mean, you're seeing... our partners Southwest and others doing such a great job to Las Vegas. And, you know, in Canada, I think WestJet has every year has increased more and more flights coming directly into Las Vegas. And we need more of that in 2011, and that's part of our growth story. You know, visitation is going to be on the rise. We've seen some positive numbers recently, and it will definitely continue in 2011. And we're excited. And what's driving that, again, is the convention business is coming back. And we need that base. We need that base business. We need the convention business. And it's definitely a midweek level business. So it's very exciting. Very exciting for us.
That's right, because midweek is usually where you get killed. And now you're doing better.
Midweek is improving.
We'll be back with more from Randy Morton, the president and COO of the Bellagio, from the Bellagio. What a coincidence. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
43 minutes after the hour, do you hear some explosions in the background? That's the fountains here at the Bellagio erupting as they do many, many times during the day. It's not just the final scene of Oceans 11, 12, and 13. My guest, Randy Morton, the president and CEO of the Bellagio. I've got to ask the devil's advocate question, Randy. Are there too many hotel rooms chasing too few people in Las Vegas?
Well, right now we have Cosmopolitan just opened last week and adding another 2,000 rooms, which soon will be 3,000 rooms. So we have as a destination, we have our work cut out for us to you know, deal with the capacity challenges. That's something that we're, as a destination, as a community, we're working together on with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we're excited that we're seeing some positive signs with the convention business coming back and booking, you know, the booking pace being up 18% over last year. And this is very, very encouraging. And we need that to fill those weekday rooms. And definitely with the Cosmopolitan coming on, having more rooms right now in 2011. The city, the destination, we have a lot of work to do.
Now, I always tell everybody every year there are two dead weeks in the travel business, the week immediately following Thanksgiving and the week immediately following New Year's. Would I be right to say that if you showed up in Vegas on January 4th, you could own the joint?
Well, in this case, fortunately, it will not be the case.
I know, because you got CES. Consumer Electronics Show, yeah.
And the good news is the Consumer Electronics Show has been back year after year, and their numbers are growing very strong. And they own the joint.
They do.
For about 5 days.
And then when they're gone, that's your dead week. It's got to be.
Yeah, it's the second week of January where we have a little bit of a lull. But the first week of January after New Year's going right into Consumer Electronics Show, the timing is absolutely perfect.
When you take a look at the business model of Vegas now, where most of your revenue comes from non-gaming, when I talk to the restaurateurs, the really great celebrity chefs here who've got so many great restaurants, of which you have so many of them, they tell me that last year, people still came and ate, but they weren't buying the $300 bottles of wine. They were buying the $50 bottles of wine. Has that changed at all?
It's starting to come back. We went from a $300 bottle of wine to a $100 bottle of wine, and a $100 bottle of wine to two glasses of wine. And it's slowly coming back. And I would say that $300 bottle of wine is probably at $150 now. And we are selling more bottles today than we did last year, which is very encouraging. Without our fine dining restaurants like the one, Churco and Le Cirque and Prime, they've been seeing an uptick in full bottles, and that's a very positive sign because the restaurants are busy weekdays
and
weekends.
See, that brings up the question that I ask everybody, and that is, if you walk into any of your restaurants, right, you would never know the economy's in trouble because people, they're filling their restaurants. And this is not, you know, this is not Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, we have, fortunately, we have, again, back to value, we have great value because the restaurants are, the fine dining restaurants are pricey and they're basically full every night. And the clientele is coming back. The regular Bellagio clientele that was here 2 years ago, 3 years ago, are coming back, slowly coming back, and it's very encouraging. On the other side, on the on a real value customer like our buffet at Bellagio.
I was about to ask about the buffet.
We had today we had a line for 45 minutes to get in for lunch, and we're going to serve about 4,000 guests today in the buffet.
And how much is the buffet?
And the buffet is $15 for lunch and $21 for dinner.
And all you can eat.
And all you can eat, and it is the same produce, the same quality of product that we have in the fine dining restaurants. It's prepared for our chefs in the buffet. So it's
so what
an
you're saying
incredible
is you,
experience.
So what you're saying is you go to a local liquor store, buy a $300 bottle of wine, and take it to the buffet. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, that would be great. That would be a great evening.
It would be. I'll see you there later.
That sounds good.
You bring the wine.
I'll bring the wine.
I'll pay for the buffet. Well, that's so you got the lower end covered. You got the higher end covered. Who's getting squeezed here? Anybody?
Well, I think the mid-level, it's very competitive right now on pricing and giveaways and food and beverage credits and free play and a lot of giveaways that are caught in the middle, and it sort of pushes the customer up to the high end of the middle or the low end, and fortunately for MGM Resorts, we have all bases covered here in Las Vegas.
But the thing is, as an educated consumer listening to this show, if you're calling to make a room reservation in Las Vegas, don't just go based on the rate. Ask about other things they're offering.
And I think when you come to Vegas, a lot of the entertainment that's in the property sort of sets the tone for the property. And we're very fortunate to have great entertainment in all of our properties at very reasonable prices, great value. And a lot of customers not only book their resort because of the gaming or because of the restaurants, but a lot of them are driven because of the entertainment in the nightclub, the entertainment in the pool.
And I want to say right now, you've been very entertaining, but that music means you're out of time. Randy Morton, the COO and president of the Bellagio, who goes back with me too long to remember, but when we're off the air, we'll reminisce. Randy, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And when we come back, my colleague from the CBS affiliate here, John Curtis, will be here to talk about entertainment plus five.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3833. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour on this Christmas weekend. Hoping you're having a wonderful time wherever you happen to be. We are actually at the Bellagio in Las Vegas, coming from the Churco restaurant on the property. And we've just been talking with Randy Morton, the president and COO of Bellagio, but someone who's a really great source of information about Las Vegas because he's been here for 12 years and he's seen all the development, the good, the bad, and sometimes even the ugly. Remember the movie Leaving Las Vegas? Well, we got somebody here who's written a book called Eating Las Vegas. And he's my colleague from the CBS affiliate here, KLAS Channel 8, John Curtis. Hey, John.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
And happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
I mean, we were just talking to Randy about all this, so many great, you know, over-the-top, great quality venues here in Vegas. I used to think, you know, I spent a lot of time in Bangkok, and I said, it's impossible to find a bad hotel in Bangkok. I'd almost have to say it's impossible to find a bad restaurant in Las Vegas these days. But you found a couple. Come on, you have.
Well, I will say that none of the bad ones made it into the book, though. Our Eating Las Vegas is about the essential 50 restaurants in Las Vegas.
Okay, because, one of my last books was called Don't Go There, and everything that was bad made it into that book. It was
we try to deal with the best of the best in the book.
All right, so from a budget point of view, right, okay, what would you say is the best value restaurant in Las Vegas?
A place called Manta on Spring Mountain Road. As you know, Peter, we have a Chinatown, we call it. It's really kind of an Asia town. Starts about a mile west of the Strip. Spring Mountain Road goes for like 3 miles. it's not really Chinese. It's as much Koreatown and Vietnam, Vietnamese town and Japanese town. And there's about 60 restaurants in about a 3-mile stretch. And Monta.
Are these all in strip malls or no?
They're all in strip malls.
Yeah.
Okay. And Monta Ramen Noodle Bar has like 26 seats. Dinner for two will run you $20. And
you know who
phenomenal.
Told me about that place? Alex Strada.
Alex Strada. Well, if I do want to pat myself on the back, I told Alex Strada about it.
You're kidding me.
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, Alex Strada, for those people who don't know, is a wonderful chef who has Alex over at the Wynn.
And
I asked Alex where he hung out. That's where he hangs out.
And by the way, if you look at the very first restaurant in Eating Las Vegas, Alex is the number one.
Oh, it's an amazing restaurant.
I mean, we didn't number our top 10 according 1 through 10. It's just alphabetical, but Strada gets top billing because of the name of his first name.
I know. Alex is great. Okay, so that's a great value restaurant. $20.
Yes, $20, not even, 18.
All right, and based on the cab ride here in Las Vegas, it'll cost you $20 to get there in the cab.
Exactly. Or I'll pick you up at the airport if you ask.
Not me. I'm talking about everybody else listening to the show. Come on, give me a break. All right, so give me another one that's not Asian that's a value restaurant.
Los Antojos, again, off the strip. The locals always want to know what's great off the strip. Obviously, the tourists who come here stick on the strip mainly. But Los Antojos.
But if they're smart tourists, they become travelers, and then they go off the
strip. Exactly. If they listen to Peter Greenberg, they understand that some of the best finds and the best buys aren't necessarily always in the big hotels. We have phenomenal restaurants in the hotels. Los Antojos, little tiny Mexican hole in the wall, 10 seats. Mexico City food, little old ladies making it in the back, fresh tortillas, fresh mole, lunch or dinner for two, $25 tops, and a wonderful Mexican
food.
For two. I mean, I think the most expensive thing on the menu is $8.
All right, so now let's shift gears and talk about on the strip.
On the strip, yes.
Yes, and you know, Randy and I were talking about buffets, of course, and those are the legendary buffets in Las Vegas. And they've gotten better. You don't like them.
I hate buffets. They encourage waste and overeating. Okay, I'm a food snob. I mean, I have to admit it. I know that's what people come to. I mean, and they're not that cheap. But I must say,
in the days that I weighed more, and you remember me when I weighed more.
I thought you turned sideways. You disappear now.
Thank you so much. Well, in the days where I weighed more, I would like look forward to, you know, one. I'm going to do one buffet when I'm here, and like go nuts, right?
Yeah, right.
And you know what? You have like one. They'd serve you a chocolate chip cookie there that was the size of a frisbee, and then you were done.
Yeah, I know.
And well, you spent $18 for a chocolate chip frisbee.
And look at all the food. I'm going to say two things. Number one, look at all the food that gets thrown away at buffets. Not by the buffets. They're very good at serving and making just about a food.
Yeah.
But people load up their plates and throw half of it away. That being said, if you're going to eat in a buffet, go to one of the better hotels. The Bellagio does have probably the best buffet in all of Las
Vegas. And Mandalay does a great job, too.
Mandalay Bay does, too. Well, Wynn has a great buffet.
Yeah.
The better hotels have wonderful ones.
But
the
you know what, John?
Ones, not so much.
You bring up an interesting point, because I'm working on a project right now about hunger in America, and I'm going to give you a statistic that is absolutely staggering. We could feed, in this country, 21 million people a day just with the food we throw away.
Yes, I've heard that, and it's shameful, isn't it? It really is. I mean, I've heard that we throw away 25% of all food made in America without even being eaten. I mean, it's just shameful. Americans should eat better and eat less, let's face it.
Yeah.
Eat like Peter Greenberg.
I'm now the king of the appetizers. I just have an appetizer because I can make a little room for dessert, which I'll share with somebody, and I'm done.
Yeah, well, I've learned to pick. You know, I always say I'm not as fat as I could be nor as thin as I should be, and when you eat in every restaurant in Las Vegas, and I think I can confidently claim I've eaten out more than anyone ever in the history of Las Vegas, in Las Vegas, so I've learned to nibble just like you do, just a little bit of appetizers, bites here and there, and I only one little spoonful of dessert every night. That's how I do it.
Wow.
But I'm still, you know, twice your size.
Shut up. The name of the book. I love the name of the book. Eating Las Vegas. It's the 2011 edition, so getting ready. Or you're already ready for it because we're coming into it next week.
I know. We've sold out the first printing, so we're very happy.
That's great.
Yep.
And you've got value stuff in there. And as John says, if you can go off the strip and follow some of those, you know, those strip mall restaurants, I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed.
From top to bottom, I think we cover them all in Eating Las Vegas.
You got it. John, thanks for joining us. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your Christmas weekend. For those stations sticking around, we got two more hours coming up of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right here from the Bellagio and Churco Restaurant. Back with more right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this Christmas weekend. I hope you're having a wonderful time wherever you are and that Santa was very, very good to you. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And where are we? We've been crisscrossing the country, so get out your maps, boys and girls. 36 degrees, 5 degrees, 5 minutes north, 115 degrees, 10 minutes west. We are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, otherwise known as the Bellagio, from the Churco Restaurant, and taking your calls again at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And as you know, I go to a different remote location every week to broadcast this show. And you can always get a sneak peek into next week's show if you sign up for my free newsletter. It's updated daily, delivered straight to your email address. And, of course, if you really want to go behind the scenes and get access to all of our past shows, which we've archived in perpetuity, then just sign up to be an insider. It's less than $5 a month. Makes a great post-Christmas gift as well. So check out petergreenberg.com for all the details. That's a lot of emails to answer today, so let's go right to them. From Bill in Massachusetts, my wife and I want to visit Paris again, but want to rent an apartment for a couple of weeks. Really good idea, Bill. Can you get us some reputable agencies to go through, or might you know individuals who rent? I'll give you a couple of them right now. HomeAway.com. It covers you up to $5,000 if an advertised property isn't legitimate. But that doesn't cover the baits and switch situations or false advertising, so be careful, but they got some really good listings. Zonder.com will find other recommendations and other accommodations if the property grossly misrepresents itself. And then, of course, TripAdvisor.com has a number of rentals with actual reviews on those properties, and there are pictures and details and contact information included. And there are some additional private agencies in this country that don't just do apartments, but they'll do villas if you're going outside of Paris. Especially if you're traveling with more than one family, it becomes an economically viable alternative. Here's one from Cheryl in Sussex, New Jersey. Peter, love your advice. Thank you, Cheryl. I was wondering, do you know anything about the weather and such for a specific place? We're going to Morocco and then a Canary Island cruise in December on NCL. Well, you're going a year from now. I hear it's cool to cold. How does a person pack for weather unknown? You know what? It's not frigid. It's not freezing. You're not going to be in the mountains. What you're going to do is you're going to bring with you a windbreaker, a light sweater. You'll need an umbrella from time to time because it may rain one or two days. Other than that, you can even get an umbrella on the ship. Not a big problem whatsoever. Think San Francisco in winter, and that's about where you'll be during the day, around 55 to 60 degrees. It may get down to about 40 degrees at night, and there you have it. Here's one from Beth in San Anselmo, California. Even though I started calling, I love these letters. Even though I started calling 331 days ahead of time, I have not been able to use my United miles to book two business class round trip tickets between San Francisco and Mumbai. 2 years ago, I had no problem doing this. The agent suggests that I continue to call back several times a day. Great, if I didn't have a job, a family, and a life. Well, I'm with you, Beth. Any ideas or suggestions to ease my frustration? Yes, what I want you to do is to watch the CBS Evening News in the next couple of weeks when I do my special piece on the truth of the lack of redemption opportunities for frequent flyer miles. It's become outrageous. They make more money. The frequent flyer mileage programs make more money for the airlines than the airlines make as airlines. Believe it or not, the market valuation of the American Airlines frequent flyer program is over $6 billion. The market valuation and the full capitalization of American Airlines as an airline is only $2.2 billion. Why is that? Because the airlines basically print the currency and they control the redemption. They're selling gazillions of miles to mileage partners, banks and credit card companies and grocery stores and florists so that you get 1 mile per dollar every time you spend something. But they also control the redemption. So they already know when they issue the miles, when they sell them, They have no intention of redeeming them, especially now that they've reduced capacity in so many flights. When you have fewer planes, that means you have fewer flights, which means you have fewer seats, which is why every plane you've been on and I've been on has been totally full. There's no incentive for them at all to displace revenue passengers by giving away miles. So they keep the redemption levels under 10%. And what are they doing lately? An even more insulting thing, realizing frustrations of people like you, and by the way, me too, they're now giving you other offers to redeem your miles for other things other than airplane flights. So guess what? For about 4,500 miles, you can get a subscription to Reader's Digest. Try to control your enthusiasm. Let me do the math. If you're getting 1 mile per dollar spent, and 54% of all mileage earned is earned on the ground, that means you've just spent about $2,900 for a subscription to Reader's Digest. The worst one of all is for 8,500 miles, they'll give you a box of Godiva chocolates. We did the math. There are only 18 pieces of chocolate in that box. You just spent something like $450 per chocolate. So this is a big problem. It's the elephant in the room the airlines don't want to address, and so far they haven't been forced to address it because of deregulation. There's not one state attorney general in this country that has the authority to investigate them for bait and switch. I am waiting, honestly, for some very smart attorneys to file a class action suit in federal court claiming that the airline frequent flyer programs are run as an illegal, unregulated lottery, because that's exactly what they've become. The inducement for you to join is that at 25,000 miles, you'll be on a beach with some great tropical drink stuck up your nose. And guess what? When you call for that 25,000-mile redemption, they tell you there are no seats available at 25,000, but oh, wait, they've got them at 50,000. Well, that's bait and switch, but they're not under any state law that can cover that, so they get away with it. In your situation, on the longer international flights, for which they, by the way, they already want anywhere from 100,000 to 300,000 miles to redeem, and look how hard you had to work to get to that 300,000-mile mark, and you've been trying for 331 days out, and you still can't redeem it. You know why? Because the airlines are not required under any law, because of deregulation, to have any seats available. Ever. They can actually advertise seats at a fare for which the seat doesn't exist, so that when you call up on the phone for that $149 fare, they'll say, you know, sorry, Beth, that seat doesn't available, but we've got one for $300. Now, what are you going to do? If you were an automobile dealer anywhere in this country and you advertise, let's say, a Toyota Camry, and I showed up at the dealership and you said, oh, no more Camrys here, but here's a Lexus, the dealer goes to jail. It's called bait and switch. That's why when you open up every newspaper in this country, automobile dealers in any state in this country are required by law. Required by law to do what? List the vehicle, your ID numbers, and how many they have for sale at any given price, so they can't pull that on you. So, Beth, watch this space carefully. I feel your frustration. I feel your pain, because I feel it myself every time I try to redeem miles. And very few people have any more miles than I do. And I can't redeem them. So watch what happens after we do that piece on CBS News. Maybe we might get somebody's attention. We'll be back with more of your emails. Mileage redemption. We'll be back for more of your emails from the Bellagio Hotel here in Las Vegas on Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this Christmas weekend. There's a Christmas present for you. You can't redeem your miles. Back with more right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour on this Christmas weekend. Hope you're having a wonderful, happy holiday. Ho, ho, ho. Merry, merry, merry. And we're about to wish you a happy new year as well. You know, just in reading Beth's email from New Jersey about her frustration in redeeming frequent flyer miles, she's not alone. I share that with her. And our next guest knows a little bit about that. He's accrued more than 1 million miles himself. Reporter for the Los Angeles Times in Los Angeles for us right now, Charles Lockwood. Hey, Mr. Lockwood.
Hey, Peter. I'm Charles.
I know. I called with a million miles. I call you Mr. Lockwood.
Well, those are actually butt in the airplane seat miles. That's not all the bonus points you can get. Also.
Well, you heard. I don't know if you heard my answer to her about how frustrating it is out there, but I really do think the airlines are running what amounts to be an unregulated illegal lottery. You know, the inducement to join the program is that when you get 25,000 miles, you'll get to redeem a ticket, and it's not working out that way.
Well, what I'd say is, you know, the it's just as unclear in the mileage games as it is in what the price of the actual regular tickets are. You just do not know what you can get when you can get it. It's very unclear, or how many seats they have to set aside on each flight. We don't know. And there are no regulations on the frequent flyer programs either.
You're right. They're not required to reveal it either.
No. No, although, you know, some people have picked it apart. It's in the past, before the flights got really, really crowded, 6%, 7%, 8% of passengers on many flights were traveling on free tickets. But as everybody knows, because the flights are more crowded today, it's harder to get the redemption awards because the airlines would rather take your money than take your miles.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a million miles. I hate to do the one-upsmanship game, but I got to do it, Charles. I got about 12.
But you're spending too much time in airplanes, Peter.
Well, it's what I do.
But, you know, here's the great thing about mileage programs, and I'm sure people will be relieved to hear this. You don't have to live on an airplane to earn miles. Let's worry about spending them in a minute. You know, these programs are really not frequent flyer programs now. They've evolved into what I would call frequent buyer programs. More miles are earned through things like credit card bonuses, getting miles for purchases, you know, signing up for a certain financial or investment program than are earned by actual air travel now.
Oh, yeah, and that's been there for quite a while. The problem is you can earn miles for everything short of breathing. You know that there's a program that Delta and US Air have for funeral directors that they get miles every time they ship a coffin?
Only the airlines could dream that one up.
I'm serious. So there's even frequent dying miles.
I mean, and it rhymes.
And speaking of that, so many of us are like nearly dying trying to redeem them.
Yeah.
That the little known fact about the mileage programs, which by the way have been you know, basically supported in law cases, so there's precedent here, is that you can actually deed your miles in your will to somebody else. So let them die trying after you die.
let's try to be more optimistic. Let me give some advice, okay?
I'm ready.
Because there are ways. I've just successfully booked a business class ticket to Latin America in a few months. And so you can redeem your miles. What I would say is the key advice is you've got to be flexible. In planning our vacation trips, we get the tickets first, then worry about when we're going to go. Sometimes we get the tickets, and based on where we can go is where we go. And you may not get the nonstop flight to Europe or to Asia. You may have to make a stopover. You may not be able to get the Friday flight, which are full of businessmen returning home. You're definitely not going to get a free ticket to travel over Christmas when the airlines fill all the seats with revenue passengers. But if you are flexible, you could find the seats out there. That's been my experience.
Okay, but let me ask you this then. Let's say, you know, what I've done with the airlines, and this is the only way I've been able to redeem my miles. I call up and I say, you know, I'd like to go to Hawaii in 4 weeks. And then, of course, they laugh at me.
The computer laughs, exactly.
They laugh. And I said, but I pick a flight. I'll say, I'd like to go on flight one. Let's say it leaves at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
And they'll say, no seats available for frequent flyer redemption. So I said, okay, when in my lifetime will there be a frequent flyer seat available on flight one? And they'll say it'll be like in next October, even though I want to go in you know, February, March. And I take the ticket, right? And then I say, and we pick an arbitrary date for return. So now what I have in my possession is a ticket that's a frequent flyer reward ticket on the flights that I want to the locations that I want, just not the dates that I want. And then I take that ticket on the day I actually want to fly, and I go fly standby, and I get on the plane.
I don't know what to say. You know, it's all very clouded. It's unclear. You know, as you say, this is completely unregulated. The rules of the mileage programs tell you that they can change them, do anything they want at any time for any reason. One thing I think, you know, and I want to come back to some possible advice, but the airlines, you know, they're not going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. They're not going to make it so impossible to get seats that people get turned off to the programs and stop chasing miles. Because the people who benefit from this are the airlines. They're selling zillions of miles every year to credit card companies, telephone companies, mortgage companies, as these perks. And that works out for them is they're giving away seats that they think will be empty. If they get too tight on the awards, this enormous source of revenue where they sell the miles to credit card companies and others will start to diminish. In other words,
although I have to tell you that we are such a nation of addicted mileage junkies that what's going to happen in the next 5 days in this country, it happens every year, and over the next 5 days, are fanatical, crazy travelers doing what we call mileage runs.
Right.
And that is, you know, they're like 5,000 miles or 4,000 miles away from their next big, you know, mileage threshold of promised perks and goodies, and they'll literally run to the airport and fly anywhere to do a round trip just so they get the miles.
Right.
I mean, I have a friend of mine who just did it last week between New York and L.A. just to get to the platinum level, and she basically landed in L.A. at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and flew back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She just spent the day on a plane.
But, you know, most of the audience is not doing mileage runs, and they're not living on airplanes like business people. What they want to do is, you know, use the programs to get the occasional free tickets or the upgrades to business class. And for these people, there's one thing to be, you know, they can try to accumulate the miles without flying. I've got friends who literally every year they accumulate enough miles between them credit card purchases, special offers. And they go off to Europe in business class, and they fly almost never on revenue tickets. Their work doesn't make them fly. And so there is one thing. People should look for the non-flight ways to earn miles. Then they've got to redeem them. And as I said, flexibility is key. Another thing is there's these alliances, Star Alliance, you know, One World of carriers. If you can't get to Latin America, let's say, on United Airlines, maybe another airline, which is a partner in Star Alliance, can get you there with your United miles.
And you know what? I will tell you this. Even if you do it in a counterintuitive way. So, for example, if you wanted to go from Los Angeles to Buenos Aires and you couldn't do it on United, if you don't mind flying through Frankfurt on Lufthansa and back around into Buenos Aires, you can do it.
Maybe it'd be easier for people to see if they can cash in their United miles on what is still the separate Continental program. Or let's say they fly American Airlines. If they can't get to Buenos Aires on American, there's a partner in the One World Alliance called LAN, a very good Latin American airline. Maybe they can get the ticket on LAN Airlines instead of American.
Yes, except what I've found lately is the other partner carriers hold off the inventory. They don't release it to American, so American says there's no seats available, and yet you call Lufthansa if it's a United Airlines partner, or you call LAN if it's an American Airlines partner, and they have so many seats on board you can go bowling on the flight. And then you have to get a supervisor to go in there with an industrial-strength spatula to pry out those miles so you can actually fly. It is possible to do it. You just got to be creative.
You just have to be creative and flexible, and as I said, we plan our trips around. If we want to fly business class to Europe, not cattle car class, we plan the trips literally around the availability of the seats. So the problem is, one of the problems is, as you pointed out, you know, you can try to plan your trip 9 months in advance, which is being a little compulsive, but
I know.
Sometimes it works. Other times, they do not release the miles.
Charles, I got to tell you right now that music means we're out of time for this segment, and you get absolutely no bonus miles, but you get my thanks for being on the show. Charles Lockwood from the Los Angeles Times, we really appreciate it. Happy holidays, man.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Bellagio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Hope you're having a wonderful Christmas weekend wherever you are. So Merry Christmas and ho, ho, ho. And if you haven't a chance at any time of the year to come to the Bellagio, the minute you walk into the lobby, if you go through the lobby by the check-in desk, you are confronted with an amazing, a staggering, vibrant display of horticulture, unmatched by any other place that I've seen in a long, long time of its scale. I mean, there are some guys who do great work at the Four Seasons Hotel, the George Sank in Paris. That's Jeff Leatham, who does an amazing job of flower arrangements. But this is more than that. This is, bring your cameras. It's unbelievable. And especially at the seasonal times of the year, whether it's Thanksgiving or in this case, Christmas, it's pretty amazing. And the man who's responsible for all this, the director of horticulture, that's right, they've got one here at the Bellagio. In fact, based on what I've seen, they need one. His name is Andy Garcia. No, not that Andy Garcia. This Andy Garcia. Hi, Andy. Happy holidays.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, just walk in there alone to see what you do with flowers alone. And you make animals, and you make ornaments, and you make, I mean, it all comes to life. How much, I mean, in a way, how long did it take you to do just the display that I'm seeing now, this Christmas display?
Well, all becomes back in July with a meeting, a planning meeting. Then we have the concept, we know the plans, we know the ornaments, we know all the props. Then execution week, that when the funds begin.
And that's, you do that late at night?
Well, we close the conservatory for 5.5 days. We work 24 hours, 100 people, nonstop.
Wow. So you'd always go to the tree lighting ceremony at Rockefeller Center, and that's always a tradition. But you've got your own tree here, too.
Yes, we do. And the one
and you actually truck it in from long distances.
You know, I went to Mount Shasta back in August.
That's Mount Shasta in California.
In California, yeah. To pick up that tree. So it's quite an adventure. Because they have to build me a temporary road to get to the tree. So I go see the tree, and it's beautiful, and I have to take pictures, and they got the measurements, but it has to be the Bellagio tree.
Mm.
And what is the Bellagio tree? It's the best of the best. It has to be healthy, it has to be full. But also we are helping the environment by cutting this tree.
Mm.
Many people will say, now, wait a minute.
Yeah, okay, I'll be one of those people. Wait a minute.
What is he talking about? Simple. There are some trees up in the mountain that they have to be cut in order for the younger trees to grow. So we always pick one of them trees so we are helping the environment.
You know, I use that in my dating life. I always get rid of the last... No, I'm kidding. So I can make the younger women... No, that doesn't work, does it?
We're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not. Okay. That's a different kind of horticulture.
Yes.
And I just get in trouble. Okay. But bottom line is, you have to truck it all the way here. How do you get it in the building?
The tree comes in... it came in on a Tuesday, I remember, at 3 a.m. I got a crane ready to go. It's a 50-ton crane to lift the tree off the truck... goes into a cart through an alley that is only 24 feet wide through the building. So we have to remove plants, we have to remove signs, we got to do everything in order to go in. But it goes in so smooth that it's fun.
And then once you get the tree up, then you start surrounding the tree with everything. I mean, we're talking how many thousand plants are in there right now?
I have 43,000 poinsettias purchased for 4 weeks.
Say that again?
43,000.
Oh, my God.
So, but here is the deal. You don't see any dead flowers in the conservatory. We check every day to make sure that it looked its best all the time.
Okay, so you've got 43... I'm still recovering from that. 43,000 poinsettias, and then... You also have all these huge ornaments that are in there now.
Yeah. Well, you know, once again, I got to go back to July. We had a meeting, and I popped the question. I asked the question, okay, guys, is it going to be a traditional Christmas or a white Christmas? So we all got into a fight. So this year, we went both. If you notice, the entrance is traditional Christmas,
sure, yeah,
all the way to the end of the tree. But when you look to the left and you look to the right, you see penguins, you see white, you see light.
See, I like the penguins.
You like the penguins?
I love the penguins.
I love the penguins.
I go nuts for penguins. Anytime I can see a penguin, I'm in.
And they are fun. Yeah. And then you look to the left, you see trees covered with snow.
Very quickly, how often do you rotate the exhibits?
Five times per year. We do one in January, Chinese New Year. March is spring. Summer is in May, fall is in September, and then the granddaddy of them all.
Which is right now.
Right now.
Unbelievable. I'm going to go in there now. See, what time do you actually start counting the poinsettias? Amazing.
But I got to tell you something. You know, you don't have to use your miles to come see the conservatory. I tell
you
what.
It's free.
It's free. Open 24/7.
Okay.
So, I mean.
You got me. I'm there.
There you go.
I know. And bring your own penguin. It's a great deal. Andy Garcia, the director of horticulture, who hasn't slept since July because he actually does count the number of poinsettias.
Look at my face.
I know. It's amazing.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad también para usted.
Gracias.
We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Bellagio. You got to check out that. It's an unbelievable display. Back with more right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is brought to you by
Travel Guard. Visit travelguard.com/unlucky. Tell us what makes you the world's unluckiest traveler, and you could win a $10,000 dream vacation. Brought to you by Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 minutes after the hour on this Christmas weekend, 2010. Peter Greenberg here taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. Of course, at this time of the year, lots of new books out there, lots of books coming out for sale, a lot of travel books, a lot of sort of aspirational travel books, and then there are the adventure travel books, and this one caught my eye. I'm going to give you the title, and you'll understand why. It's called The Jaguar Stones, number 2, The End of the World Club. Somebody says they're part of the End of the World Club. I need to know more. And the authors are John and Pamela Volko. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Good, good, good.
So how did you get involved in this? And I should say, where is the End of the World Club? Where do you have your meetings?
So the End of the World Club is the book has a Maya theme. And you might have heard all the fuss about 2012, a lot of people saying that the Maya predicted that the world would end on 21st of December 2012. Have you heard that?
Right, and that's all based on the Mayan calendar.
That's right. Well, of course, it's complete tosh. The Mayan never predicted that. And the End of the World Club is the name. The boy in the book, his father is an archaeologist at Harvard, and that's the name he gives to all the people who believe everything they read on the Internet. That's one of the meanings of the End of the World Club in the book. There are some different meanings, but...
But yeah. It's a very interesting adventure book here. I mean, they get on some pretty wild stories. I guess I have to ask this question because I've heard about it, and nobody's ever given me the right answer, so I'm going to ask you. What is monkey stew?
Well, I'd have to answer that one. When I was a kid, my parents lived in South America, and they would take all sorts of holidays and vacations in the most inhospitable places imaginable. And one time we were staying with this guy who collected snakes deep in the rainforest, and he came back and he said, "Hey, I've got great news for dinner tonight." And he pulled out this monkey, and he just threw it in the fire, and he let the fire kind of burn the fur off, scraped the meat off into the pot, boiled it up, and that was monkey stew. That was dinner. Like getting
burnt. Wow. And did you ever forgive your parents?
Well, you know, I was quite a bitter child, but then I've recycled all these experiences into the book. So a lot of the experiences that the Max, the main character, experiences are based on things that I experienced firsthand in the rainforest. So it's actually come out quite good in the end.
Well, the most important question to me, because I saw this in the research here, is tell me about the plane crash in the rainforest.
Another of John's happy memories.
Well, we're going from monkey stew to a plane crash in the rainforest.
Yeah, we were on a Boy Scout camping trip, and we chartered a plane to go out to this place just out in the Amazon basin. And so we were just supposed to land in a field somewhere, and it was rainy, and so they finally found the field that we were supposed to land in, and the pilot sort of buzzed the field and had to sort of chase the cows off so that we could actually come into land. And so as we made another pass and started coming in, I could see you could see the two pilots in the front, and one wanted to land, and the other thought it was too muddy and wanted to pull up, and they were kind of struggling up and down, let's land, no, let's take off. And eventually the guy who wanted to land sort of won out. And by the time we touched down, we pretty much ran out of field. And so we started crashing into the trees and the underbrush and eventually came to a stop. And there was holes in the wings, the propellers were all bent. And fortunately, nobody was injured. But these guys were crazy. They just had us get our machetes out and sort of chop the brush down, push the plane out. They kind of banged the plane back together, got the first aid kit and sort of fixed the holes in the wings. And they said, well, we'll see in a couple of weeks, and off they took off.
They actually took off?
Yeah.
Wow, you see, now the moral to that story is anytime you're in a plane where the pilot is arguing with the co-pilot, it's not going to have a happy ending. You need those guys in sync. Well, listen, the name of the book, of course, I'm going to read it again because it's kind of cool. The Jaguar Stones, number 2, The End of the World Club. The authors, John and Pamela Volkel. Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck in 2012 with the Mayan calendar, because I hope you're wrong. I really hope you're wrong.
The world is not going to end.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, okay? Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. And coming up, speaking of monkey stew, or actually not speaking of monkey stew, we've got the executive chef for the Bellagio visiting by, who's going to tell us some of the wildest dishes he's cooked up. And something tells me that monkey stew is not on the menu, has never been on the menu, and may never be on the menu. Is he shaking his head yes or no? Okay, it's not on the menu. Good, we can rest easier. All right, we'll be back with Edwin Wong right after this. Peter Greenberg here from the Bellagio, back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide. And it's BYOMS. Bring your own monkey stew.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour on this Christmas weekend. Of course, Christmas is also synonymous with food. And in the days when I used to eat meat, of course, there's always the honey-baked ham with the honey mustard sauce and everything else in the turkey. I've graduated from that now. I'm no meat, no bread, and I'm having scallops for Christmas. What are you going to do? But we said we're coming from the Bellagio Hotel and Casino, or the Bellagio Resort and Casino. It's not a resort. It's not a casino. It's a city. It is that large. It is huge. And joining me now is somebody who understands size and scope and scale. He's the executive chef of the Bellagio, which means he's not the executive chef of any one restaurant. He's El Jefe of all of them. And his name is Edmund Wong. Hello, Edmund.
Hello, Peter.
You could say good morning, but you'd be wrong.
feels like morning.
I know. You could say good afternoon, you'd be wrong. You could say good evening, you'd be wrong, because there are no clocks in this hotel.
There is, and we're a 24-hour, 7-day operation and 365 days out of the year, and we never stop.
How many people work for you?
Over 900 employees work for us as cooks and stewards, and we have 14 restaurants, and we have 16 bars, and we have a 160,000 square foot catering banquet operation.
How many separate kitchens?
Over 20 different separate kitchens.
Do you have a dedicated room service kitchen too?
We have two of them, actually. One for our main tower, one for our spa tower. One's a mini version of the other, but they probably serve about 2,000 meals a day. And
just out of room service?
Just out of room service.
That's a lot of croissants.
It's a lot, and we even have our own croissant room.
Come on.
We do. We have a whole team that comes in at 2 in the morning that bakes muffins, croissants, and danishes. Everything's still made in the house here. And
so you're not outsourcing anything. You're doing it here.
We do everything here. We even have our own butcher shop, which processes over 500 pounds of fresh Atlantic salmon that gets flown in 6 days a week.
Is that for all the restaurants? You're supplying all the restaurants?
All the restaurants, yes.
But then it's up to the restaurants on how they're going to prepare the salmon.
Absolutely. And you know, we have 15 different executive chefs in each area where they will you know, use their own authenticity and creativity and apply the products that we source.
Now, you heard me talk about monkey stew with our last guest, and you were laughing and I was laughing, but what would you say is the most unusual item on your menus?
Well, we have a lot of different things. Some things may seem unusual to one guest, which may seem very normal.
Try me out.
Well, you know, a lot of people are like, what are white truffles? And that seems very exotic or unusual, which is just a great item. Some of the more exotic things that we have is in two of our very authentic Chinese restaurants, Jasmine and Noodles, where we have, you know, abalone and gooey duck and braised fish maw sometimes.
Okay, sea musk?
It's like sea moss is like...
Oh, sea moss.
Yeah, sea moss is...
Could you explain to me what gooey duck is?
It's something you don't want to run across in the wild. No, it's like a big giant clam. It looks kind of... it's got a sort of a big, long, extended appendage to it, but it's like a giant clam.
But they call it gooey...
Gooey duck. I don't know how it's sort of come across to that name, but it's quite a delicacy, and it's great slicely... Thin slicely with a little soy sauce. And
okay, you have all this meat coming in, all this seafood. What's the biggest selling, not particular to a restaurant, though, but what's the thing you bring in the most to the hotel in terms of the biggest selling item?
It would definitely be our meat program. We go through at least 6 weeks of inventory of prime meats at all times because we have our own wet-age meat program, and we'll bring in...
So you age the meat here?
We age the meat here. And we're actually building, for 2011, our own dry-aged meat room as well.
Now, are you smoking stuff here?
We do smoke stuff here as well.
You doing Gravlax?
We do Gravlax.
Oh, now we're talking. The Gravlax with the dill sauce? Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, one of the great places that we feature all this stuff in is our Fountains Brunch at Jasmine, where we've molded sort of the authentic Asian-type cuisines because we have a little noodle station in there and fresh dim sum that we make and tie it in with sort of more of a traditional brunch where we cure some of our own bacon. We serve our prime meats in there. We have our own sushi. So the best of everything is in there, and that whole brunch has really revolutionized Sunday morning dining.
Wow. So how much are you actually smoking? Are you smoking any cheese? No cheese.
You know, we've tried some cheddar or some Gouda, and we use different test areas. And one of the great places to test things is the buffet because we have about 3,500 people who come and eat on the buffet every day. And
you'll find out right away if something's popular.
Oh yes, and we'll definitely find out some things that you know.
Tell me what something you took off the buffet because nobody wanted it.
Was a smoked scallop. People just preferred either a cooked seared or even scallop as a ceviche, but a smoked scallop just wasn't very popular over there.
So we 86 the scallop.
Yeah, we kind of replaced it with something else. So.
And is there one thing you put out there and said, oh, no one's going to like this, and it went over the top, everybody had to have it?
You know, a few years ago during Christmas, we thought about trying to do whole roasted goose. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, the hams and the prime ribs and the turkeys are always mainstays. And we thought we'd take a tradition from Europe and put goose on, and we could barely keep up.
Wow, you couldn't keep up with a goose.
No.
All right, Edmund Wong, the executive chef here with 900 employees, not to mention his muffin brigade that comes in here at 2 in the morning. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your Christmas week vacation wherever you are. For those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming up from the Bellagio. Peter Greenberg Worldwide returns with more right after these messages.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. On the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this Christmas weekend. Unbelievable. I know the year's coming to a close, but I hope Santa was very, very good to you. And let's hope he was. We're coming to you from the Bellagio in Las Vegas, and we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. So much stuff to talk about, and as you know, we travel every week to a different location for a different remote broadcast from somewhere else in the world. And if you want a sneak peek into what's going on with next week's location, just sign up for the free newsletter. It's easy. It's updated daily, and it goes right to your email box. And if you really want to go behind the scenes and find out about all of our past shows, which we've archived, it's easy. Just be an insider. It's less than $5 a month. A great post-Christmas present you can give yourself and everybody else. Because remember, travel is news, and we are on top of it. We update our website every 18 hours. Why? Because travel is news. Let's go to some of your emails very quickly. We've got one here from Susan in Camarillo. She goes, that's Camarillo, California, by the way. My daughter is married to a man in the Air Force in North Carolina. They are expecting their first child, and I live in California. So what is the best, fastest, least expensive, most successful way? I want to say that five times fast. For me to get from LAX or Burbank to Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Well, I'm assuming, Susan, that you're going to go the minute you find out the baby's born, which means you really can't plan that far in advance. If I were you, I would buy one-way tickets, and you can do that on a number of different airlines. You're not going to get there nonstop from Burbank, I can tell you that. There are one or two nonstops, at least there used to be, from LAX to Raleigh-Durham on American. But my advice is not to do it that way. Check out AirTran. Check out Delta and check out American with stops in Dallas and see if you can get some deals. I go to kayak.com. They're a great search aggregator for deals. But I found out an interesting story the other day. Any airline that tells you that you can't get the cheapest airfare unless you go on their website is not really telling you the truth. I was trying to get somebody from New York to Washington, D.C. on the shuttle on U.S. Air, and I went on the U.S. Air website. And the cheapest fare on any flight on any hour of the day, and they go every hour on the hour, was $296 each way. You could fly a round trip to L.A. for the cost of one round trip ticket to Washington, D.C., which has an airtime of 38 minutes. So you know what I did then? I went on the Orbitz website and found the exact same flight on the exact same day that I wanted with the exact same aircraft leaving at any time of the day, any hour that I wanted, for $51 each way. So it pays to be a comparison shopper even on the web. Now, we did some investigation for you, Susan. Cheap tickets. The cheapest fare we could find was $435 on United. Kayak had one with one stop. See what I was talking about? One stop through Houston on Continental for $284. And Bing.com came up with $284 as well. So there you go. But the Continental flight through Houston is probably your best bet. And I hope that's helpful. The bottom line right now is here we are on the anniversary weekend, if you will, of the underwear bomber. And the real question is, what have we learned? And worse, or maybe better, depending on how you want to interpret things, what have we applied? What lessons have we applied when you consider the fact of the state of our current airport security and airline security? One of the big pet peeves I've had since day one is that while they're strip-searching nuns looking for tweezers, they're still not inspecting the cargo that's carried on the planes we're flying. And they were supposed to be within 100% compliance last August. And they are claiming, officially, that they are. Well, It all depends on how you define that, because they've been allowed, meaning the airlines have been allowed, to basically outsource the inspections of the cargo to what they call trusted shippers. They're asking their own shippers to inspect the cargo. There's no third party doing the inspection. Now, if it's in your best interest financially to get the shipment to the airplane on time, where's your incentive to slow that down to inspect it? That's like asking me to build an airplane and also certify that it's safe. And you know what? If I ever told you I built an airline and the certification of that airplane was me, trust me, don't get on the plane. We need better checks and balances. And so here we are. It's still a screening problem for air cargo. And here we are a year after the underwear bomber. And that wasn't even cargo. That was a guy who tried to detonate his pants on the plane. We need a better way to go, guys. And so far, I haven't seen it. All I've seen is more delays, more crowded planes, and an airport security model that really doesn't work. And I really wish people would understand that, you know, when I say it doesn't work, I'm not kidding. I mean, we all fly. We see it. We have a number of our guests on the show who are veteran pilots who call it security theater. I call it security theater. And none of us, myself included, by the way, is going to sit here and tell you that I'm not in favor of better security. Of course I am. But the argument that the TSA will give you is that since 9/11, we haven't had an attack on a U.S. airline within this country. And they're right. But the absence of an attack on a U.S. airline in this country can never presume the presence of good security. I happen to think we've just been lucky and that most of the terrorists are downright idiots. I think they're stupid. And I think this is the year. This is my New Year's resolution, folks, that I hope somebody else will embrace, is that we have a new year in which we embrace common sense, we change the model of security so that we don't start asking the same stupid three questions every time somebody flies, which can always be answered by yes, yes, and no. Have you packed the bags yourself? If they've been with you all the time? And has anybody given you anything? It's always going to be yes, yes, and no. You can train somebody whose first language isn't even English to memorize those three answers. You want to know something? I'm convinced that if I showed up on a hot August afternoon wearing three overcoats, four mufflers, five trench coats, and a hat, and as long as my picture on the driver's license matched my boarding pass name, they'd still let me on the plane. Now, how stupid is that? We need to instruct and train our frontline security people to do one five-letter word, and that's called think. They're not allowed to think. They're not allowed to use their intuition. And so as a result, they've been put into the unfortunate position of being robotic morons. And that's not good for anybody. The best-intentioned TSA officers are still forced to be morons. Do we all have to be morons? Come on, it's Christmas. Give ourselves a present. You know what the present is? Intelligence. All right, I'm done venting. When we come back, more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide that doesn't deal with security for at least a little bit from the Bellagio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Back with more right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
That would be me. 18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the Churco restaurant at the Bellagio in Las Vegas, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Speaking of that, this is the time of the show I always encourage you to go to our website with the most imaginative name possible, petergreenberg.com, for one very important reason, to look at our list of all the great aid and relief organizations that are doing that essential hard work in places like Haiti. in western China, in Chile, in the Gulf of Mexico, places that need our help, especially in Haiti, where the rebuilding effort's going to be at least a generation, if not longer, at least 10 years, I'm telling you. And the reason why you want to look at that list, it's not just to donate money, although if you can do that, please do, is to see how you can get actively, physically, personally, and on location involved with so many of these organizations that really speak to your own areas of expertise, intelligence, and abilities. It's the best basic travel gift you can give yourself. That's what you should do on this Christmas weekend. Give yourself the gift of a volunteer vacation, because in the process, you get so much more back when you give to others. This is your opportunity to do it. Please check out our website and see exactly what I'm talking about. You'll be glad you did, and so will I. Since we're almost on the cusp of the new year, I thought it would be great to have one of our regulars back on the show. He's the U.S. travel editor for Lonely Planet, Robert Reed, with his picks for the 10 best places to go in 2011. And hello, Robert.
Hi there. I promise, by the way, I'm not going to be a robotic idiot.
Well, you don't have to be, because I already know you're not, because you don't work for the TSA.
That's right, yeah. So that's my excuse, at least.
All right, so then, now that you've given me that challenge, Mr. Reed, what are your top 10 picks? Let's go through them.
Well, we look at the 10 places in the USA to be thinking about in 2011, and the first is an easy choice for me. To me, it's like a cheat sheet towards some of the great national parks that you can find anywhere in the country. And, you know, it begs you to get a national park pass, $85 for the year, up to four adults, get as many parks as you want a year, and that's southern Utah. And it has just a trickle of number of the visitors is nearby Grand Canyon. And you just have an endless number of parks. And you have the red crimson canyons of Zion, the pink and orange minarets of Bryce Canyon. Arches of National Park is something that I just want to bend down and eat the earth because it looks like red fudge, like something from Mars. And so that region, south of Utah, kind of south of I-70, is unreal. If you've seen the movie 127 Hours, that was set. You know, for the real story of that mountain climber who had to cut off his arm. That was in a part of Utah that is so remote there in southern Utah that's actually not on Google Maps.
Wow. Sure, and I'll give you one. Here's a piece of a memory lane trivia for me. Back many years ago when I was helping to run television at Paramount Pictures, we developed a certain show that I know you know of, and we shot the original pilot in southern Utah, right out there where you're talking about, and the name of that show was MacGyver.
Hey, great.
We shot it in Moab.
Good choice.
Okay, so that's number one on your list. What's number two?
Well, number two, think about New Orleans, and in particular this spring, because March 26th is going to go nuts. Not the Sugar Bowl. It's not, you know, Mardi Gras. It's Tennessee Williams' 100th birthday. And Tennessee Williams is a proud son there of New Orleans. And, you know, they have the Stella yelling contest. There's going to be a fair amount of alcohol going on.
I got to stop it. You know how many people listening to the show don't know what the Stella yelling contest is? So let me try it out. All right. Here it is from Marlon Brando. Ready? Stella! Okay, there you go.
You did it. You would win right there.
Okay, thanks.
The other city that in particular to look out for in 2011 without needs no introduction, of course, New York City, where I live. This is every year is a huge year for New York. 2011 is going to be huge because it's the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and the World Trade Center site has become kind of a somber attraction of sorts where people go to pay their respects. Well, for the first time since that event, it's going to be open to the public next September as the 9/11 memorial is slated to open. And so that, in addition to the Coney Island makeover and the High Line, which is an elevated train line, and Chelsea and western part of Manhattan, is a lot happening in New York. But in particular, people are going to want to go see the World Trade Center when it first opens up for the first time in 10 years.
Now, your next choice is interesting to me because it's sort of a dual choice. In the same state. I mean, one part of it I get, the other part of it I don't. So why don't you run it through for me?
Yeah, the part that you get, I'm guessing, is Austin, Texas. Now, this
Correct.
Is going to be the 21st South by Southwest. So, you know, one of the biggest music festivals in all the United States. A lot of people are going. They've been hearing about Austin. They're wanting to go for the first time. I lumped it in with West Texas because I think that's a great surprise to anywhere that you go in the U.S. Lump it in, add 7 days, and get a big road trip into this real western part of the state, which is unreal, kind of a little bit like southern Utah in the sense that you have deserts and mountains.
Oh, listen, it is totally unreal, and I know this because I've driven it. I drove across the country 3 or 4 times on the southern route. When you do the southern route, you're driving across West Texas. The good news is it's unreal, but I have to give you a caution. Roll your windows up. because you're going to be passing some of the largest feedlots known to man. And, boy, that odor just doesn't go away. Other than that, it's a great choice, Robert. Congratulations.
And big bugs will fly in, too. The Big Bend National Park is the place to go to, right on the elbow of Texas.
You're right about that. And speaking of national parks, because you mentioned it in Utah and you also mentioned it down here in Texas, I got a little trivia question for you. You ready?
Uh-oh. I may be a robotic idiot, but I'll try.
I'll give you a shot. What's the one state in the United States that does not have a national park?
I know this. I'm very happy to say Delaware.
You win nothing, but you're right.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that it's time for us all to rally this, you know, the holiday season and figure out what the national park should be in Delaware.
Well, you know, I talked to the governor, and they're really pushing for it. They found a place. They've got 17 great state parks, so they're not exactly out of the running. But they're going to have a national park before the end of 2011.
I love it. I did not know that they had done that. I think that's fantastic. It's the first state, you know. It's important, and there's a lot of things there, a lot of history there. So I'll be looking forward to being one of the first visitors when that happens.
All right. So now number five is?
Well, we got Savannah, Georgia here. And a lot of people have been to Charleston. This is kind of a little bit wilder sister of Savannah. And some people may have gone. It's nice to combine both of those cities in the South, both coastal cities. And Savannah is a rare place in the South where Sherman, meaning William Tecumseh Sherman, the Union general from the Civil War, is not a four-letter word because he spared it during the Civil War. And the best way to get around the place is by bike, a place called Bicycle Link that has rentals. And if you're not in the heat in summer, go and see the kind of the oak trees dripping with the Spanish moss. Look at the 19th century antebellum mansion, some of them which you can stay in. And, you know, it's a great place to get around by bike.
And, you know, you mentioned by bike. I've actually gone to Savannah three times by boat because you go through the Intercoastal Waterway. It's just phenomenal. And we stopped there and got out of the boat, got off on land. We were walking into a bar. I had a camera crew with me. I'm not making this up. And I watched them make this drink that wasn't in a glass. It was in this huge cup. And everything that could possibly be poured into this drink was being poured into it. And I said to the bartender, we were on camera, I said, "Does this drink have a name?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What do you call it?" He says, "Call a cab."
Yeah, or a boat, or, you know, certainly you probably wouldn't want to bike away from that drink. So.
All right, so number six you've got is Denver, Colorado, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think of Denver as merely as the gateway into the mountains, but it's become increasingly a destination of itself. You know, there's a lot of good, you know, brew pubs. If you talk about calling a cab to go there,
They've got more brew pubs in Colorado than anywhere else. They've got the one of my favorite bookstores ever. The Tattered Cover.
Yeah, that is absolutely one of the best independent bookstores in all the United States. And, you know, they have one of the greatest honky-tonks. I know that's your thing. Grizzly Rose. They have, like, you know, it's like lion dancing like crazy, you know, like Wyoming cowboys come down. And if you've never done that, this is kind of one of those places that you want to try it, you know, is the Grizzly Rose there in Denver.
All right. Now, rounding out the list of number seven, Northern California. Number eight, we're back to the national parks. Of course, you couldn't ignore Grand Canyon.
Absolutely.
And, by the way, I'm a big fan of the Grand Canyon in winter, by the way. And number nine, somewhat of a surprise, Palm Springs. And then number 10, because I know you just couldn't give it up, Hawaii.
You know, and I almost kind of want to cheat and change my number 10 to the Civil War. It's the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, and there's going to be tons of reenactments all through the South over the next 4 years. So if you don't like wool uniforms and big beards, watch out, because it's going to be crazy. You know, starting with Manassas, there's going to have a Civil War baseball game in 2011. So all kinds of special events that make you rethink the idea of going and seeing a reenactment.
Well, a really great list for 2011. Robert Reed, of course, the U.S. travel editor for Lonely Planet. You are not a robotic idiot. You knew the answer to the question on Delaware. You win absolutely nothing except our thanks for being on the show, and have a wonderful and happy holiday.
Thank you.
You got it, man. We really appreciate that. Coming up next, I'm one of the biggest fans in the world when it comes to process, not product. And we're going to talk about the process of Cirque du Soleil when we come right back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Bellagio in Las Vegas. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. believe us, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 33 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg coming to you from the Bellagio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas on this Christmas weekend. Hope you're having a wonderful time wherever you are. And I have to tell you, very few things get my mouth to drop for a sustained period of time than going to any one of the Cirque du Soleil shows. I've been to every one of them, some more than once, I might add. They always astound me. There's one that I'm not as fond of, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But by and large, I'm telling you, you're always blown away by something. And it's not just the acrobats, and it's not just the costumes, and it's not just their sense of humor, which is, of course, is great. But it's also the engineering of it. To me, I look at it and go, how did they do that? How did, you know, it's one thing to think about a water ballet, and we go back to the days of Esther Williams and synchronized swimming, but this is beyond that. Of course, I'm talking about O, which plays, you know, at Cirque du Soleil right here in Las Vegas. And joining me now is David Shapiro, who's the technical director with Cirque du Soleil. We're talking about 1.5 million gallons of water.
It's a big pool.
Well, it's more than just a pool now, isn't it?
It's a water stage. It has lifts that go up and down. We can make it a completely dry stage. We can drop to minus 18 feet.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
I mean, because you must have some incredible pumps.
Absolutely. We have three huge hydraulic cylinders that power each of the main lifts. They weigh 10,000 pounds. They're about 30 foot tall. They were actually put in with a crane before we had a ceiling on the building. And I've just been tasked with replacing them all as they started to fail.
I mean, you know, we see stories right now in New York of the preview performances of Spider-Man, which is the most expensive Broadway play ever, you know, constructed. And to make matters worse, people are getting hurt. The actors are getting hurt. It's a very strenuous, challenging physical performance where people are literally swinging from the rafters and sometimes not making it, right? Now you're adding one more element, water.
Yeah, it actually gives the artists a false sense of security because...
That's what we love, don't we? A false sense of security?
I came to this show, I've been here since creation for 13 years. I came out as the assistant head rigger, and I became head rigger the day the show opened. I was the head of rigging for 9 years, and now I've been the technical director for 3 years. The rigger is the person who handles everything up in the air, scenery, people flying, everything kind of above the ground.
So. Have you ever been in the pool?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a scuba diver. Part of my being hired here was because I was a rigger and a scuba diver.
I guess that would come in handy, wouldn't it? Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, I have to ask the question. I mean, for somebody to come into the cast of that show, how often do they have to rehearse? And because the timing is so critical.
Well, we do show 10 shows a week, 5 days a week, so we're off on Monday and Tuesday.
And that's when you rehearse?
No, we actually rehearse every single day prior to shows. We have rehearsing that begins on stage and then our training rooms at noon every day and runs right up until 5 p.m. when we start setting up for the show.
And there are two shows a day?
Two shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
And were there ever any moments where you, like, held your breath and said, we're in trouble?
Quite frequently we do that. Yeah, it's a very technical show. 136 technicians, 82 artists. Everyone is scuba certified.
Every one of them.
Everyone, artists and crew. And the technicians, they're actually open water advanced and rescue certified.
Have you had to do some rescues?
We've done a few. You know, water based and aerial.
But nobody's lost it.
No major injuries.
We like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, the other Cirque du Soleil production that is here in Las Vegas that totally blows me away is the stage at Ka. When I say the stage is the star of that show.
Absolutely. I think the water is the star here at O, and I think the stage at Ka is one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen.
I mean, I've never seen a stage that is that big go vertical. I mean, the stage really lifts up and does everything short of flying.
Absolutely. It's very very technical, very detailed show. We have about 84 computerized movements at O. They have 320, almost four times as many as we do.
Wow. And it's split-second timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When that sand starts moving on that stage and those guys are hanging on and those pegs come out, that is amazing. I mean, truly.
Yeah, and the battle scene there is very impressive. The artists are actually handheld winch controls, so they're actually controlling their flying and controlling their movement.
Well, you know what? If I was ever in that show, I would insist on that. That'd be part of my deal. You're not putting me up there unless I'm in control. Wow, it's amazing stuff. And I highly recommend it. Remember, these are the two shows. I mean, there are other Cirque du Soleil shows, but these are the two shows that I look at and I go, I don't know who to thank more, the engineers or the performers, right? It's that crazy.
It's very complex.
I love it. David Shapiro, the technical director, the former chief rigger, and if you ever need scuba lessons and you want to be certified in Las Vegas, he's the man to take you out there, right?
Absolutely.
But you do no certification in the pool at all.
No, not yet.
But you're thinking about it. No, you're not. Two shows a day. And let me ask one more question. On the 2 days that you're dark, the people in that show are probably sleeping 12 hours a day.
We have a lot of people resting, but we have people that are very active here in snowboarding, scuba diving at Lake Mead.
Oh, so basically they're thrill-seeking crazy people.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure that we understand who's on the stage there, otherwise known as your pool.
Definitely.
All right, David, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that. And when we come back, we're doing more of your emails, and there are a lot of them. Problems to solve, that's right, even on Christmas weekend. Santa's been busy. Stay tuned. We'll let you know who's been naughty and who's been nice. Back with more from the Bellagio, Peter Greenberg Worldwide, right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
It's 43 minutes after the hour here on this Christmas weekend, coming to you from the Bellagio Hotel, Casino Resort, and stage managing of the O. And, of course, Kyle right across the street at the MGM. Amazing stuff. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com, and we'll solve it for you. And we got lots of emails to deal with. We've got one from Coco. I love that name in Seattle. We want to take a vacation without alcohol. Well, okay. And are having trouble finding links. A search mostly brings up alcohol policies and tours for beer and wine and the like. Do you know of organizations that provide alcohol-free vacations, tours, or destinations? Believe it or not, we do. There's one called the Fourth Dimension Resort. It's located near Tamarindo. You know where that is? Costa Rica. I've been down there. Great beach resort down there, especially if you like to surf. And you know what? Alcohol-free. Here's another one. The Hull Bay Cottages on St. Thomas. Again, alcohol-free. And the Nestle Inn in New England, and they're right in the woods of New England, alcohol-free. So I hope that's helpful for you, Coco. And you can find more of that information on our website, petergreenberg.com. Here's one from Joy in Georgetown, Ohio. My mother is dying. I'm sorry to hear that, Joy. And I live 2,000 miles away. How do I avoid paying for last-minute flights to go bury her? Oh, this is sad. Can I buy a round-trip ticket that I can use within 3 days of her death? Not really. Here's the way it works. You've heard of bereavement fairs or compassion fairs. The problem with that is that you'll probably spend more money because the airlines are under no mandate whatsoever to discount anything because a family member or a loved one has passed away. The best thing to do is to buy one-way tickets on a low-fare, low-cost discount airline. I'm thinking Southwest, AirTran, JetBlue, even Spirit. I don't know where your mom is located, so I can't give you a specific information on that. But bottom line is we do have a number of airlines, thankfully now, that are selling tickets on a one-way basis. They're not requiring a Saturday night stay where you have to book them 2 weeks in advance. So that would be my advice. Here's one from Barbara in Concord, California. And we're getting a lot of emails on this one, and it's about my favorite topic, airline bags. We will be taking a world cruise in January 2012. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You mentioned that you shipped your luggage and we're wondering which shipping company you used. Well, here's the thing. My advice is if you're going to go on a cruise, you never, ever fly to that city where the ship is on the day that you're leaving for two reasons. One, if your plane is late, and two, if your bags never show up. Not a pretty picture because ship's going to leave anyway. So you want to go there the day before. And since you know way ahead of time, in this case over a year ahead of time, Barbara, that you know you're taking this cruise and you know where you're going from, Fort Lauderdale, then go to any one of about 17 different courier companies and have them ship your bags ahead of time to a hotel where you will be a day before the cruise, because you want to make sure you're there too, at a very small cost. And let me give you an idea of what we're talking about. For about $30 more than what the airlines want to charge you for losing your bags, you get door-to-door service. They pick the bag up at your house or your apartment, and they deliver it to the room of the hotel where you're staying. Now, I'll give you an example. I'll give you some price comparisons. Obviously, if you were going to check two bags on an airline, that'll be $60, $25 for the first and $35 for the second. Round trip, that's $120. Isn't this interesting? New York to Los Angeles, or in this case, maybe Los Angeles to Miami, on UPS, $60 a bag. And on FedEx Ground, 3 days in advance, about the same. So there's your $30 more per bag, and it works. It works like a charm. And it's a three-day deal that I gave you that price comparison, and the bag, we gave you the max, 50 pounds each, which is what the airlines will let you go with. So we try to do oranges to oranges on that comparison, and it works. So there you go on that one. Here's one from Shelley in San Diego. I have the best solution for the security checkpoint. So user-friendly, so quick, and so much cheaper. Dogs. Okay, two at every security entrance, one trained to sniff out drugs, the other explosives. Why has no one proposed this? Okay, well, Shelley, you just did. And you know what we'll do? We will check that out to see how reliable and efficient that would be. If you choose to use this idea on the show or via your website, please give me credit. Shelley, I just did you. I did. You got credit. I have no idea if it'll work, you know, that's probably as good an idea as putting a sign in front of those new scanning machines that says to everybody, if you walk in here wearing explosives, you will be detonated. That would solve the problem, too. So, and then the dogs will eat you. That's it. Done. We've solved two problems with one. All right. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide with a look at the next stop for Charlie. You don't know what that means? Stick around. I'll tell you.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour on this Christmas weekend, so ho, 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 everybody, and hope Santa was very good to you. My next guest, we've talked to him once before on the show after he did a movie called Last Stop for Paul. He's now got this wild show. He's actually the host of it. It's called Next Stop for Charlie. And it's difficult for me to explain what this show is, but travel is definitely involved. And his name, Neil Matt. Hey, Neil.
Hey, how are you?
So you want to explain what this show is? I mean, I'm trying, but basically you've got no script, you got no dialogue, you got no scenes. You just get off a plane and stuff happens.
Well, it's sort of. I mean, it was made correctly without a script or a plan, but it all does come together at the end as though you're watching a scripted show, and ultimately it does have acting in it. The way we did it is everyone's probably familiar with the movie Catch Me If You Can and The Hangover. It's sort of a combination of what you get out of those two projects.
Enough said. I love that.
Yeah, there's two main characters, and I play one of them, and I'm chasing the other guy. I get a call from my aunt that my cousin has dropped out of medical school and is now partying around the world on her credit card. And she says, will you go get him, follow the credit card trail, and bring him home? And
so basically, Neil, this is a wonderful excuse for you to see the world.
Correct, correct. And so we wanted to take it to another level and add a purpose for his travels. And what we set was he was going to go to the craziest, most innovative, weird, kooky events, parties around the world. And so every country I'm tracking him and losing him into these crazy events and parties around the world.
So far you've been, what, Colombia, Belgium, Thailand, Japan, the Philippines, Australia, Brazil, Denmark. I don't see New Jersey in this, by the way, Neil.
All international.
You are really the scammer. You're so busted.
Yes.
Yeah, and we started off in Columbia and had a great time there. They have a nutty festival called the Blacks and Whites Carnival in January, and it was 500,000 people there just going crazy for like 3 days.
Now, where in Columbia were you?
Pasto. It's near the border of Ecuador.
Wow. And of all the places you were, because, I mean, it's sort of not scripted, sort of is scripted, what's the wildest thing that happened that you weren't expecting?
Well, I got arrested in Thailand.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, we would create scenes around things that I find right in the moment. And we were literally driving from Bangkok down to Pattaya to shoot. And I saw a billboard for a zoo that had a bunch of tigers called Tiger Town. And so we went there with the intention of getting into the cage with a tiger and having that sort of be the, how the episode would start, that my character would wake up in this cage and the whole of that episode would lead up to that moment. And we talked the zookeepers into letting me get in this cage. And as we're shooting the scene, suddenly they thought we were making a video that would make the tiger look bad, and they didn't like that, so they arrested me.
At least the tiger didn't have something to say about it.
Fortunately, the tiger was well-fed and napping. So
we always like that. The bottom line is, you really almost, I mean, with no script, I mean, you basically, you're winging it.
Totally, 100%. That's exactly what's going on. But yet, you know, at the end of this half-hour show, there is a complete narrative, a beginning, middle, and end. You know, when anyone that watches TV, you watch an episode of Entourage or Friends or whatever half-hour TV show you like to watch, there is a through line that pays off. And then furthermore, the seasonal arc must pay off from episode 1 to episode 10. And even though nothing was planned in advance, we were able to, on the fly, create these narratives that would have a complete through line for an episode and connect with a seasonal arc that pays off at the end. And don't ask me how I did it. I don't know, but it does work.
All right. Was there a country out there that you basically were saying, I don't ever want to go back there again?
Well, not from this production, but I have another show that people may know. It's on the Sci-Fi channel. It's called Destination Truth, and in every episode, the main character goes around the world looking for a monster. It's a reality show, sort of like Ghost Hunters, but monster hunting. And I created that show in the first season. We shot in Papua New Guinea looking for dinosaurs, and I would not go back to Papua New Guinea.
Reason being?
Well, I think I'm on a list. I don't think they like me because I was shooting, apparently, dinosaurs. So I made their, you know, not-so-friendly list from that. But it just was, you know, really, really, really rough, some of the areas I was in. And it didn't feel and this may be because, of, you know, my production was so sensitive to that, but it didn't feel really safe. And I can go with off the edge, but this felt a little bit too far off the edge for me. So I'm not keen on going back there. But anywhere else, I'm up for.
Okay, I got it. So what's the next couple of countries you're working on?
You know, we're getting ready to start gearing up for season 2 right now, and we're thinking about doing the Middle East. So
cool.
I'm looking at Jordan and Israel as two that I really have my eye on, as well as Syria, and sort of doing the research for that right now.
Well, you'll have a great time in Jordan. I'm there all the time. We've done this show many times from there. We've done some television specials from there. Phenomenal place, and it's a stone's throw literally into Israel. It's a 40-minute ride from Amman into Israel. And just one thing I would like to warn you about, the Syrians don't have a big sense of humor.
Right.
So work on that, Neil. And when do we see Next Stop for Charlie? Where does it air?
Thursdays at 11.
All right, man. Thanks, Neil. That music means we are out of time for the show this week. So Merry Christmas, everybody. And thanks to Ray Regal doing the boards here, Jeff Ryder doing the boards in New York, Tina Knoll producing here in Las Vegas for us, Shelly Gontrowski out in Seattle, Wendy Mosca and Sarah Gorgon helping us out here at the Bellagio, and, of course, all the folks here at the Bellagio who made themselves so available to us. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.